Amen, Brother Jerry. I was fixing to say, you better. Yeah, go ahead. Call his name. Hardest things being a pastor is trying to figure out what to do after a service like that. You give me about 10 country minutes, would that be all right? It's 12 o'clock. If we dismissed right now, we'd be in the newspaper tomorrow. We would, man. I'm telling you, it'd be front page news. Happy Valley got out at 12. Amen. We've never. So just so that don't happen, I'm going to go ahead and preach just a little bit this morning. Now, I'm serious. I will be very quick this morning. If you'll allow me, I just want to brag on him.
Amen.
That song says, I owe it all to you.
That's right.
I stand here by his grace.
Amen.
I open this book by his grace. I lay down in the bed with my wife by his grace. I get up every morning by his grace. I owe it all to you, Lord.
Amen.
Every single thing. I want to say this morning how thankful I am to my heavenly Father for allowing me to be an earthly father.
Amen.
I know today's all about dad, but I want to tell my children. I don't know. They're scattered. I don't know where they all are. Katie, that's my baby. She's in the balcony. Boy, I love her with all my heart. My son Levi, who's sitting right here on the platform behind me, and my oldest daughter Ashley, who's singing for you this morning. What a treasure they are in my life. I want to thank them for being good kids. You could probably look at them and find more fault than I could, because I'm not looking too hard for it. They're not perfect. They've never given me a minute's trouble, and I thank God for it. As their dad, I would do anything in this world for them, as any dad would. If Katie needed a heart, she probably wouldn't do much good getting mine. It's done over the hill. She'd probably die by 40, but if she needed a heart, she could have mine. If Ashley needed lungs, she could have mine. If Levi needed, I'm trying to think of another vital organ. I was going to say if he needed a brain, he could have mine, and he'd say, no thanks. Get me a monkey brain, that'd be better off, amen. But I'd lay down my life for my children. And I think any dad in his right mind would. I know there's some out there in our country today, there's really too many who don't give a flip about their children and don't care where they are and don't care about their welfare. But I'm talking about the average dad who loves the Lord and has God in his heart. We'd do anything within our realm, within our grasp for our children. But you know, when it comes down to the reality of things, there's only so much I can do. If one of my children need money, there's only so much I can do. If Katie said, Daddy, I need $1 million, I'd have to say, you talking to the wrong daddy, because I ain't got $1 million. There's certain things, there's only so far I can go. I'll go as far as I can, but there's only so far I can go. I'm glad that each one of my children, all three of them, came to a point in their life where they not only had an earthly father, but they developed a relationship with their heavenly Father.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's verse number 15, the Bible said, for whereby we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ashley and them sang one of my favorite songs a while ago, I Have a Father Who Can. I cannot take a piece of clay and mold it into man, but I have a Father who can. I can't count the many grains of sand, and on and on. And she talks about all these things that are impossible for you and I to do, but we have a Father who can. My Bible says with God all things are possible. All things are possible. I'm going to give you four simple things this morning that I want you to think about that my children have need of in their lives that I as a father cannot provide for them. Several things. Psalms 103. Are you there? Say amen. I'm not going to read the entire psalm because I will never, ever. I didn't tell you to turn there and start with, did I? Boy, you got to be really quick, hadn't you? Psalms 103, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms 103. I'm not going to read the whole psalm because I can't get through them first verses to get to where I'm going without getting stuck. I just preached from this passage not long ago, and the Lord put it on my heart again yesterday. Now, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Won't you look at verse number 8? The Bible said the Lord is, say the word with me,
merciful
and, say the next word,
gracious
and slow to what?
Anger
and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. I want to say, first of all, I want you to notice, I'm talking about our amazing Heavenly Father. I want you to notice the slowness of his anger. The slowness of his anger. How many of you dads, won't you be honest with me, have ever lost your temper with your children?
Amen.
Come on, raise your hand, be honest. You've lost your temper. Have you ever looked at your kids and said, I've had it up to here? That's all I can take. I'm glad we've had a Heavenly Father this morning who has never lost his temper. Are you listening to me? I said he's never lost his temper. You said, wait a minute, that next verse said that that he wouldn't always keep his anger. There's a difference in punishment and losing your temper. Jesus has never flew off the handle with me. He's put up with far more than he ever should have put up with. Amen. I don't know how, over the years, how many people I've had tell me, say, I just don't believe with all I've done the Lord had saved somebody like me.
Ah,
you don't know who you're sitting with this morning. You don't know who you congregated with this morning. You're sitting in a house full of sinners from the very back row of the balcony all the way out in the back of the gym and teen church. We're all sinners, and if we're saved, we're just sinners saved by grace. And we ought to rear back with a good godly yell and say, thank you, Lord, that you've been slow to anger with me. Thank you that you've been gracious. Thank you that you've been patient with me. Has God been patient with you? Come on, talk to me. Has God been patient with you? I would say more. I would say our mind and God's relationship is mine is a thankful relationship. His is a put-up-with relationship.
Yeah. Right,
amen. Have you ever had a family member because there's your family, you just had to put up with them?
Yeah, come on. Amen.
Amen. Thank God I don't really have any family like that, but a lot of people do. Just because they're in the family, you're stuck and you got to put up with it. I feel like sometimes that's the way God is with me. He's mine. I got to love him.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. He's mine, as mama says, bless his heart. Amen. The slowness of his anger. I'm sure glad God is slow to anger. Man, I grew up thinking, Brother Charles, that God was just sitting in heaven waiting to strike me dead. Amen? We grew up with these sayings. People tell a story and it sounds like a fib, and we'll say, we'll move and say, you know, I'm worried lightning's going to strike. Listen, man, that is not the God we serve.
Amen.
He is not sitting in heaven waiting to zap this one or zap that one. I'm not saying God won't deal with you because God will, but God is not going, all right, I'm going to get me one today. He's not a vengeful God. He's not a God who's out to get you. He's a God who's out to love you, and he's a God who's out to care for you. He's a God who's out to Woo! Somebody ought to get happy and let's have church up in here this morning. I'm glad I've got a God who is slow to anger. There's been days that I knew in my heart God was not pleased with me. But yet in my heart I also knew that God was not mad at me. There were days in my son's teenage life that I wasn't, there was days I was mad at him. I'll just be honest with you. Nothing would do for a birthday, but I can't remember if it was a Nike or whatever kind of ball glove it was. Nothing would do. Had to have that ball glove for his birthday, $100 ball glove. Come home and the dog is enjoying it immensely. Nah, 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 nah. Mad. Brand new bicycle laying behind my truck in the driveway. Mad. There's days I've been mad. But there was days when I was just very unpleased. Nobody can break your heart like your children. I'm glad God is slow to anger. But boy, I pray God would help me to be one that'd be faithful enough not to break his heart.
Amen.
I know there's days when he's been unpleased, but I'm glad he's been slow to anger. If I'd have been God, I'd have jacked me up a long time ago. I'd have struck me down. I'd have killed me. I told you the other night, I used to pray before I preached, God, if I start to say something wrong, kill me. I don't pray that prayer anymore. Because I know I'm subject to say something crazy. Amen?
Amen?
I'm glad God's slow to anger, aren't you? I'm glad God's slow to anger. I know there's people here this morning, you may be lost and you're wondering, boy, if I get saved, I can't live it. Hey, he's not going to force something on you. He'll help you. Hey, join the can't live it club. But I'm glad the Bible said I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm glad the Bible says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hey, we're not jumping in this thing to see how good we can be. We're jumping in this thing because how good he already is. Amen. I'm glad that he is slow to anger. I want you to notice not only the slowness of his anger, but look at verse number 10. The Bible said he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us, whoo, according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Not only do I want to notice the slowness of his anger, but I want you to notice the strength of his mercy. The strength of his mercy. Now I want you to look at verse number, well, let's look at verse number 10. The Bible said, I told you 10 minutes, I'm not going to tell you straight up, I ain't going to make it.
Amen.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You got to let that sink in. In other words, God has not given us what we deserve.
That's right. Amen.
I feel like the kid playing T-ball.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
When I was a kid, to get a trophy, you had to win something.
Yeah. You're right.
And now they don't even keep score.
Right.
I'll probably lose somebody right now, but why do you play a game? I went and watched my grandbabies play. I kept score.
Yes, sir.
I told them all the way home, y'all won. I don't care what. Everybody don't win.
That's right, preacher.
Amen. But I feel like a T-ball player in today's T-ball with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when it comes to his mercy, thank God he don't give me what I deserve. He gives me what I don't deserve. Hallelujah. I got a trophy.
Yeah.
And never made it on base.
That's right.
How about that? Thank God he hath not given us what we deserve.
Yeah.
If every one of us were honest, we deserve hell.
Amen.
Every one of us, if we'd be honest with ourselves, and according to this Bible, we deserve to die and spend forever in a devil's hell.
Right.
But because of his mercy, whew, we haven't got what we deserve.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice verse number 11. Now, I want you to notice the strength of his mercy. How far does mercy go? How far does mercy go? How far does it reach? I was preaching down in Pensacola, Florida at Brother Tim Fallure's church. And there's a group got up to sing right before I preached, and I got so tore up I couldn't hardly preach. And Brother Todd, I don't know if y'all have ever heard it, but the name of the song was Mercy Said No. The gist of it was, as I was a sinner, I was guilty and condemned to hell, but mercy said no. I didn't deserve a blessing and such and so on, but mercy said no. I was sick in body and health, but mercy stepped up and said no. I want you to notice the strength of his mercy in verse number 11. He said, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as the heaven is high above the earth." Do you know that we do not have, with all of our technology, we do not have a telescope, Brother Tommy, that can see as far as it goes? Nobody's ever looked out there and found the end that I know of. Am I right about it? I don't reckon anybody's ever said, "There's the end. There's the end of the heavens. That's where it stops. There's that, like the Florida Keys, as far as you can go. That's it." No, I guess that thing just keeps going and going and going and going. I'm talking about the strength of his mercy. How far does it go? Hey, it does not stop. It just keeps going and going and going and going. Thank God I'll never run out of mercy. Now, I know he said he wouldn't always chide, that he wouldn't always hold his anger. God will deal with you. Don't get me wrong. This is not a come as you are, do as you please. Amen. There is some conformity. There is some place where we need to line up and do God's will in our life. But there is always mercy for those who want it. I don't care how far you've drifted. I don't care how far back you've gone. I don't care how many old habits you've picked up again. There's mercy. There's still mercy. There's people sitting in this room who have got in, fell out, got in, fell out, got in, fell out. Listen, I've been riding horses pretty near all my life, except for while my children were growing up. I couldn't afford them. Hey, I've been throwed over and over and over, but I'm glad by the grace of God we put a foot in the stirrup and get back on and get back on. And that's the way the mercy of God is. The Bible said a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The devil may get you down, but because of the mercy of God, you and I don't have to stay down. We can rise up. I said we can rise up over and over and over and over again. My granddaddy used to say, "Pull yourself up by your bootstraps." I still don't know what that means. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can pull yourself up by the mercy of God. Amen. You can pull yourself up by the mercy of God. Thank God. Whew, I'm almost out of time, ain't I? Some of you are saying, "You've been on time about 5 minutes." The slowness of his anger, the strength of his mercy. I want you to notice this, and this blesses my heart, and I may not even get past this. Verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. We saw the slowness of his anger, the strength of his mercy, but I want you to notice the scope of his forgiveness.
Yeah.
The scope of his forgiveness. Somebody said, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how big his forgiveness is." Hey, you say, "My sin's this big." Well, his forgiveness is that big. He said, "As far as the east is from the west." Hey, that is without measurement. It just goes and goes. Kind of like that mercy into outer space. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. I've had people sit in my office and say, "Preacher, God won't forgive me." I say, "Yes, he will." I remember Dexter Steffi. I hope the Lord would let him listen this morning. He was a member of our church for years and died shortly after we moved to this facility. I led him to the Lord in the Cobb General Hospital. His nephew, Tater, we called him. I don't remember his real name. That was his nickname, Tater. Come to church and got saved. And he come to me on a Wednesday night and he said, "My uncle's dying in the hospital. Would you go see him? He's got cirrhosis of the liver." I said, "Sure I will." He said, "You promise?" I said, "I promise." He said, "Well, it's something I ought to tell you." He said, "You promise though, right?" I said, "I promise." He said, "He's a biker." He said, "I don't mean he rides Harleys on the weekend." And got him a leather jacket from the Harley Davidson place. He said, "He's a real biker, a gang biker." Great. He said, "But that ain't all. He hates preachers with a passion." You said you'd go see him, right? You promise, right? Yeah, I promise. I made my way into Cobb General Hospital. Nervous. Oh, Lord, I was nervous. I walked in the room and saw the frailest little man. He was the color of Kenan's shirt, but darker, orange like a pumpkin. And he was sound asleep. And I said, whew. I'm going to sneak in, leave a gospel tract by his bed, and sneak out. I made it to the foot of his bed. Both his eyes popped open. He said, you must be that blankety-blank preacher Tater sent down here. I said, guilty. I said, you look as bad as anybody I ever saw. That normally ain't my bedside manner. It's just what came out. I guess a rough old biker needed rough old language. I knelt down beside Dexter's bed, told him about the love of God. He said, why would you come down here and see somebody like me? I said, because God loves you.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, God don't love me. He said, preacher, if you knew some of the stuff I'd done, he said, there ain't no way God forgive a man like me. And boy, I started going through the Bible talking about men and their wickedness. I told him about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was murdering Christians. I told him about different ones. I said, Dexter, if he forgave them, he'll forgive you. He said, Brother Eddie, do you really believe? I went from that blankety-blank preacher to Brother Eddie there in just a couple of minutes. He said, you really believe God loves me? I said, more than believe it, I know it, Dexter. He loves you and he died for you and he shed his blood. And right there in the old Cobb General Hospital, old Dexter bowed his head and found forgiveness that reached farther than his sin had gone. Oh, Lester Roloff sang that song, the blood runs deeper than the stain has gone. Thank God the blood runs deeper than the stains are gone. My sins are many, but his mercy and forgiveness are limitless. We ought to thank God for it. Whew. I'll close with this, verse number 14. The Bible said, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are but dust. He knoweth our frame, remembereth that we are but dust. We notice the slowness of his anger, the strength of his mercy, the scope of his forgiveness. Lastly, I want you to notice the security of his knowledge. The security of his knowledge. What are you saying, preacher? I find great peace in knowing that no matter what state I'm in, I have a Father who understands me. The Bible said he was tempted in all points as we are. He was touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. I know. I may not understand what my children are going through, but I have a Father who does. Amen. You see, with my children, there's only so far I can go, but there's not a need that our Heavenly Father cannot meet this morning. You got a God that understands. You say, well, I don't understand why God would do this or why God would do that. Quit blaming God for everything. I had somebody tell me this very week, said, I don't understand why God would allow us. I said, stop right there.
Yes, sir.
Stop right there. God gave man a will.
Amen. Right.
If we leave here this morning with our family in our car, and Lord forbid, head down Highway 61, and a drunkard crosses that yellow line and hits your family and kills your wife and children, oh, it'd be easy to get mad at God.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, God didn't do that.
That's right.
God had nothing to do with that. The drunk did.
Amen. You're right, preacher.
Are you listening? Lazy, if your husband runs off with another woman this week, God didn't do that.
That's right, preacher. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I don't believe God would allow. I don't see why God would allow. Don't you? There again.
Yeah,
there is
preacher.
A protecting hand of God, but man still has a will.
Yes,
sir. Man still has a will. Man, you do what you want to do.
That's right.
You pull out a gun, shoot me in this pulpit right now. I hope you don't. If you know what's good, you won't. I'll leave that right there.
Amen.
The security of his knowledge. I'm glad I'm serving one this morning that no matter what I'm going through, I can come to him.
That's right.
And he says, I understand. Amen. I told two families this week, I buried two mamas. Buried two mothers this week in heaven, no doubt in my mind. And they sat right here on these front rows, and that funeral on, well, both of them was packed. I mean, it was a lot more people than we expected. Miss Osborne's family on Thursday, they filled up his whole, just the family filled up his whole middle thing on Friday, I mean. I told that family, I don't know what you're going through. I haven't had to bury my mother, but I serve one who knows what you're going through.
Amen.
I serve one who knows exactly what you're going through. Thank God for the security of His knowledge. Do you know everything I tell God, He already knows? Everything I confess to God, He already knows. He just wants to hear it from me. You can't tell God anything He doesn't know, but yet all through the Bible, He asks me in questions. He wants you to get the answer. He already knows.
Amen.
He already knows. Thank God for the slowness of His anger, my amazing Father. The strength of His mercy, the scope of His forgiveness, the security of His knowledge. I thank God for my dad. Standing in my office this morning, and I just begin to weep. That American flag that was draped over his caskets in the window of my office. And I just bowed my head and said, thank you, Lord, for the relationship in those last years of my dad's life that we had. I said, but Lord, while I'm here, I want to thank you for my other dad you gave me, for Pop,
amen,
for Wayne Newsom. What a blessing and a treasure he's been in my life. I said, but God, there's so many things that neither one of them could have done for me that you've done. Thank God for my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, if y'all would just get us a song. And I cut a lot of this out. I know I preached more than 10 minutes, but not a whole lot more. 25 minutes. Who's counting besides Levi? Let's bow our heads right quick before we have the invitation. Listen, I know we've already had two saved here this morning. The whole service has pretty much been an altar call. And that's a good thing. But there still may be someone here today who needs help, who needs the Lord. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, you're not 100% positive that heaven will be your home, I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you. I won't drag you to an altar. I just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand this morning and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? God bless you, sir. Just slip up your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Boy, we can get that settled 100% positive right here today. How about this? This for dads. Preacher, pray for me that I be the dad I ought to be, the husband that I ought to be, and lead my family in the right direction. How about that? That ought to be every man in this room. Thank you. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and glory for all you've done in our lives. All you have done, all you are doing, and all you're going to do. Lord, you're amazing. We sing Amazing Grace. God, it still is absolutely amazing. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you. You saw every hand that was raised. You know every heart. Father, have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you. We'll give you glory for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.